You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we make the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north to Nahariya, down south to Lebanon, all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And of course, if you like this show, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review. You can listen to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Check us out at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. And boy, oh boy, both languages, we've been busy. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Panathinaikos, EuroLeague quarterfinal series. We've been through two games, and it's all knotted up at 1-1. All kinds of interviews. We have somebody on site. Nate Dror is our representative in Athens and now in Belgrade. He has been to all the games, in the locker room, into the practices, press conferences, whatever you want. He is there. He is the man, the pictures, the videos. He is the guy. And we have all kinds of other other articles and features. Moshe Halichman, myself, and many, many more have been putting in long hours, late nights, making sure you get all the all the news and views from on-site location of Aqua Arena. Now we'll move over to Pionier in Belgrade. On, of course, to sum up the first two games of the Sports Rabbi, it is none other than Roy Jankelovici of Israel Sport. Roy, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Doing well here in Jerusalem. Roy, I don't even know where to start. You know, Maccabi Tel Aviv wins the first game, a game that they were down in, and they come back to snatch the victory, 91-87. Game two, they fall to Panathinaikos 95-79. There are so many stories and so many storylines that have gone on over the last 4 days since Maccabi Tel Aviv was in Athens. It's just absolutely crazy. I think we just start off with the most recent storylines is that Panathinaikos is, after they fell in game one, you look at Ergin Ataman, and I wrote about this already a number of times. He went on the offensive right away at the press conference, and he knew that the press conference was the beginning of game two. And he went after the referees, and he went after the referees hard, very, very hard, viciously hard. Not only that, his pregame press conference, he had a whole show and tell program that he put together to show a video of all the poor calls by the referees. Ownership puts out a brutal statement ripping the EuroLeague to pieces about the refs themselves and about the whole organization. And then they start talking about how the calls were politically inclined because of the war between Israel and Hamas. And, even though we care about these things, well, these are the reasons why, the calls are going in favor of Maccabi Tel Aviv, which we all know is a bunch of malarkey and a bunch of hogwash. The bottom line is that Panathinaikos lost the first game. They choked, ultimately. The referees had to make some bad calls. They made some bad calls. Those calls on Wade Baldwin chucking the balls up. Right. That was not the reason why they lost the game. It was not the referee. And we also know that, so those calls, according to the EuroLeague, probably are okay. Though Todd Warnick was doing a basket news analysis of those calls and said that they were not good calls. And the NBA, we know they would have never made those calls. So forth and so on. Wade Baldwin, of course, unfortunately gets hurt at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It looks like he has a slight tear in his left hamstring. Does not play in game two. So that, of course, is another storyline on top of this. Ataman gets into it with Israeli reporters. He, goes wild on the court. After the game, you see him in the locker room after game two, in the locker room area, yelling and screaming, claiming that somebody came to him, the Zionists and the this and the that, and we're going to, you come to Israel and you see what we'll do to you. And
this is one of Ataman thinking of game three once again?
Of course. He is already looking at game three. He knows he doesn't have a crowd for game three. So he's already going to start playing the mental and political games. And listen, the bottom line is that Ataman knows how to play these games very well. And he's going to go, he's going to dig deep and dirty. You know, he goes to the press conference, I like Israelis, I like this, and I like that, and I'm not a political person, but, you know, this and that and that and this. Listen, this is, you know, he's a two-time champion. He is not like Oded Katash. Somebody asked Oded, I think it was our guy, Nate Drawer, asked Oded Katash about how he is going to, you know, respond. And he said, you know, that's not his style and he's going to keep things level-headed, on and on and on, which, you know, I understand that's how Oded is and that's how the Maccabi team is built. But when it comes to war, and this is basically a war now between the two series, between the two teams, you have to come ready and prepared to fight in this war. And I hate to break it to Maccabi Tel Aviv. They don't have the artillery to match with Panathinaikos, both in on-court talent and also in the style of play that they're going to do. Kostas Loukas carved Maccabi Tel Aviv up in that second game. He made sure that his turnover at the end of game one wasn't going to, was going to be something of the past, even though that they probably still would have lost the game. He turned over the ball in the last seconds. Comes out with 29 points. He basically, you know, leads the way for Panathinaikos in game two. The crowd is riled up. It's wild there. I mean, you've seen the videos, Roe. The bottom line is Panathinaikos is taking this series into the depths. And if Maccabi Tel Aviv has any designs of thinking of winning this series, and it's going to probably be without Wade Baldwin, he's going to some witch doctor, voodoo doctor now in Croatia to look at his hamstring for treatment. But whatever, let's be honest. They're not going to have Wade Baldwin at 100%, even if they have him. John DiBartolomeo is not 100%. They're lacking, you know, definitely on the guards. We saw that yesterday without Wade Baldwin. It wasn't so much that the offense sputtered, the defense. Kostas Loukas was allowed to do what he wanted to do. We have to remember that Wade Baldwin is a very physical player, and he defensively they were really missing him. Roey, the bottom line is that Maccabi Tel Aviv, they may be tied up at 1-1, and now the series shifts to Belgrade, but the Maccabi Tel Aviv is in deep trouble here.
Oh yeah, and game three is the most important game. If Maccabi don't win that game, this series won't go to five. That's what I think.
And even if it does go to five, you know,
they will lose in game five.
You know, we know last year Monaco loses game one. Sasha Obradovic went wild at the press conference. They come back. You know, he rips apart the referees. We've seen this the textbook again. And then, of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv falls in game two, game three, because of all the craziness of the crowd. It seems to take, maybe it overtakes Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi loses, they go down 2-1, but they win, you know, game four, and then they go to game five, Monaco, and lose. They lose really due to inexperience. And listen, time and inexperience. Bonzi Colson, I know this is the second year in the playoffs, he was great in game one, and that's why. Excuse me, they ended up winning the game. Bonzi Colson was the main factor as to why Maccabi Tel Aviv came back in that fourth quarter. He finished the game with an incredible performance of 18 points, named MVP. Lorenzo Brown 16 or 15 from Wade Baldwin in game one. Game two, Bonzi Colson, how many points, Roe? We see here he had a total of, I believe, 6 points. Without me,
we could feel it in the game.
Yeah, 6 points. He was terrible. I mean, he was just awful. Josh Nebo, ineffective, 6 points. When Jake Cohen, Antonius Cleveland are your second leading scorers with 12 points apiece, you know that there's something wrong with the offense. 18 points for Lorenzo Brown, but it was, you know, a lot of those points were garbage points.
Tamir Blatt
was good. Though he finished with a minus nine, if you look at the pluses, Antonius Cleveland was really, you know, and Jaziel Rivera were very good. But, you know, James Webb is not, you know, maybe he's pulled down some rebounds, but his outside shooting has been absolutely horrific. Instead of being the X factor that the sports rabbi had hoped he was going to be, he's 0 for 6 from deep right now. In the shades of Gerald Martin from downtown so far in this series. Roman Sorokin, totally, totally ineffective. In 11, 12 minutes total. He's hardly been. And again, you can see, you know, Oded didn't trust him, so now he's not playing. You know, it's the same stories over and over again. I mean, it's like, I feel like Maccabi didn't learn anything from last year's series, and you see this all over. That you can see in the locker room. We have videos from the locker room. You can see the players are tense.
You could see the body language of the players yesterday.
Yes, was when not Maccabi good.
Was down. Yeah,
it was not good. The body language after the game wasn't good. If you're going to want to face toe-to-toe this Panathinaikos team, across the board between the coaches and the players, you've got to stoop to their level. And that's the bottom line. And Maccabi don't have a bad guy. Who's Maccabi's bad guy? Quote-unquote Wade Baldwin, right? No, that's their bad guy, Roey. But they don't have a bad guy. And Oded Tatas doesn't like to have bad players, bad guy players.
He had a bad guy, D. Hill. Don't forget that.
Yeah, but he wasn't a bad guy. I'm talking about a guy that's going to, cause traffic. If you ask Simi Rigger, okay? Simi Rigger will always tell you he wanted those guys from South Philly, the South Bronx. He wanted a guy on his team that was going to, muck it up and cause a little chaos. Listen, there's something to be said about that. Maccabi doesn't have a player like that. Kostas Lucas went from Olympiakos to Panathinaikos, and not a bad performance.
For his third EuroLeague title in three different teams. Something no Maccabi player comes close to.
Yeah, I threw out so many different factors here right now. The series now moves to Belgrade, and Maccabi Tel Aviv has some time off because they're not playing a league game this weekend, whereas Panathinaikos is. But Wade Baldwin's not going to be with the team. So, what are you working on? If you're Oded Tatas, what are you doing now over the next few days?
You're working on your game plan without Wade.
Well, that's for sure.
And you're trying to learn from what you did wrong in game two. Game two, we saw when Slukas was out, Maccabi were doing well. Maccabi came back to 3 points, I think it was. It was in the...
Yeah, they were 71-68. They came all the way back, but they couldn't flip it. In the first game, they came back and they flipped it. That's right. Slukas was on the bench when they made that comeback, and then he came back in and hit his shots, and Matthias Lasort scored inside. And that was the end of the game. You're going into now a Pioneer Arena with, they're claiming, hopefully they're going to get 1,000 fans.
There will be 1,000.
I don't even know. I don't know if there's going to be that many.
There are 4 planes coming, so.
Okay, so there'll be about 1,000 fans there. And then they're going to let everybody in. We understand that.
Yeah, it's a better arena to play in than Stark to make home court, because Stark is too big.
The question is the Belgrade Security Service going to cause problems?
No, it's Maccabi are in charge.
Hopefully. I mean, most probably they'll have they'll have 1,000 fans there, which will be good. I mean, that there's no question. But if you're now Oded Tatas, what is your game plan? I mean, what are you doing? You started John DiBartolomeo yesterday. Now, obviously, they took a 28-20 lead after the first quarter, so it kind of worked. Jake Cohen is your, scores about 10 points in that first quarter also, which was critical. Are you going with the same style? What are you going to do? Because you have to figure Wade isn't going to play, and you have to fill minutes. And, John, I mean, I know that they started the game off well, but at the end of the day, DiBartolomeo went, he played 16 minutes, but was very ineffective. Only 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He had 3 points. It wasn't,
he wasn't the regular John D.
What are you planning to do? What do you think you're going to do here? Are you going to start Blatt next to Brown, but then and you're going to have John coming off the bench? Who's your other point guard? I mean, the only other guy that's on the roster that could really play the point is or play the off guard is Antonius Cleveland, and he's been playing primarily the 3 position, recently. He could play the 2. Would you risk bringing Omer Meyer in? And I know he wasn't with the team for the first couple of games because he was with the youth team and he scored 38 points in his last game. But, I mean, what are you going to do here? Because it's clear that there's not only problems offensively, but defensively. Now, Antonius Cleveland will clean up the defensive problems, I would think, against Lucas, but that definitely wasn't in the game plan yesterday, because it just, the game, there was no, I don't know what the game plan was yesterday. I don't know if Oded knew what the game plan was yesterday. The first game he was, and even he admitted he tried so many different things. And then yesterday, he stuck with certain principles, but it was clear that they didn't have enough time to practice what he wanted to try to do. The other option is, do you try to give Joe Thomason some time? You know, he hasn't played.
Played in both games, I think.
You know, he hasn't played in both games. He hasn't played much in the Euro League at all. Do you throw him into the deep waters? What do you do here? Because on one hand, it looked like they tried to pack the paint and keep Lasorte out in game two, okay? Because, you know, Lasorte had a very good first game. He finished off with 22 points, 9 for 11. I mean, it was excellent. I mean, Lasorte was very good. He only finished with 11 points. They packed the paint, and they left the exterior, then the perimeter, wide open. And that's where Lucas really, you know, kind of carved them up, going 4 for 7. And Yanis Papapetru also carved them up, going 4 to 7. So they're going to need to play a much tighter defense on the outside as well. What are you doing, Roy?
A mix of both, trying to stop both Lucas and Lesor, and I think they should use Cleveland and maybe do something with Roman. Let Roman play. I don't think that, again, Oded is not giving his trust in Solking. We saw that last season. It's as if we're all over the same series and with different team.
It's a repeat performance. Of course, we're on here with the sports rabbi, Josh Halichman, and Roy Jankelovich. Talking about the first two games of the Maccabi Tel Aviv Panathinaikos series, even at 1-1. Games 3 and 4 in Belgrade, 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, and I think 9 o'clock or so on Thursday night.
9:15
on Thursday night. I assume it's on at 8 o'clock on Tuesday because it's Champions League on at 10 o'clock. So yeah, they always gotta get the TV time in. Hapoel Jerusalem has a game at 6 o'clock on Tuesday against Ramat Gan. Listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv, I'll say this. I like Oded Katash. I think we all love him as a person, respect him. He has his way as a head coach. That's what he's very, you know, the way he focuses, the way he is. And he said he's not going to change he's a player that he's not going to change anything and the way he reacts, and he doesn't want to go into the nonsense and all that. And there's two things that strike me here, Roy. One is that Oded Katash really doesn't have a choice. He can't go into the nonsense. Maccabi Tel Aviv can't start challenging Panathinaikos on the political issues. And Panathinaikos is very aware of that. They understand that they could say anything, and they can get slapped on the hand 50 times by the EuroLeague. The EuroLeague's not going to do anything to them. And they can say whatever they want, and Maccabi Tel Aviv has to just, you know, tight lip and button their mouth up. They can't say a word, because Maccabi Tel Aviv at this point should be fortunate that they're still in the EuroLeague and that that they haven't been thrown out. Not that they should be. Not that they, you know, everybody says, it's like Russia. They compare it to Russia, but it's not.
No, but soon, moving exactly the same subject, next month, FIFA are discussing of going to vote, even most likely, the Israel being thrown out. So if such a thing happens, we may see the last games of an Israeli team in Europe this season on Tuesday and Thursday, because that's going to go to every single sport if it comes through.
That would be an absolute disaster if that happens.
Israel, in the meantime, is trying to work that it will not get to the stage that they'll vote for it.
Yeah, because if it does go to a vote, it's trouble. Unless the
USA,
unless the
US no
has a veto.
To veto.
but let's all be honest here. We all know that the situation in Israel, we know, and we can say that the cows come home, the situation in Israel is nothing like Russia.
But the world doesn't.
But the world, you know, has obviously...
Numbers.
They have certain, you know, they have choice words for Israel and choice words for Jews. And we see what's going on in all the college campuses across the United States right now. You know, we see people, you know, we understand what the situation is here. It's a very, very delicate situation. So Maccabi Tel Aviv has just got to button their lips up and they cannot say a word. And Panathinaikos knows that, Roe, correct?
Exactly. They know,
and they're going to play that card as hard as they can, as much as they can. So the only thing that Maccabi Tel Aviv can do is only through back channels to try to, you know, try to go up against Panathinaikos, or they have to bring it on the floor. And some of Maccabi's ownership did not want to see Oded Tatush as the head coach. We know that. Even last year, remember, as he said, that he wishes he would, you know, there was support from other places, and that was alluding to management. There are certain people in the ownership group that wanted a coach. They would have very been happy to have a coach like Trinchieri. They would, you know, of course, would have died to have Ataman or a coach like Obradovic. They want a guy that is going to...
No, I don't think it would be Obradovic or Ataman because of the salary, but...
I'm saying they would like that, that type... If they could get that type of coach, they would have been... They would have signed them up if they could. They want somebody that is larger than life and that is going to be able to put their imprint on a game without having the game actually happening. We understand that. I get it. You know, when Trinchieri comes into a press conference, he knows how to manage the press conference. He knows, you know, Oded Tatush is always going to give you straight, honest answers.
Even last night, Oded, when he was asked about Wade Baldwin, he said the truth immediately. The moment he said that, I don't think he's going to play game three. I don't think he's going to play game four. Maybe he's going to play game five and he'll be fit for the final four. What's the problem? Not sure Maccabi will be in the final.
Well, that's for sure. Now, I understand why management wants a coach like Trinchieri, you know, or, you know, wants a coach, because when it comes down to right now, it's all hands on deck. And the only way you're going to win the series is if you have to try to find a way to manipulate the situation. There's no other way around it. And, you know, I'm going to redo my opening from the piece that I put up today. When it comes to the playoffs, it's all hands on deck. Everything goes, and you've got to pull out all the stops in order to do what you have to in order to win. That's the name of the game. Win, win, win. You're three wins away from the final four. You've got to do whatever it takes to give you the best chances to advance. Doesn't matter if the methodology is dirty or clean. You've got to do whatever it takes. And that is what Panathinaikos did the second game. One came to an end. No, that's the bottom line. They pulled out all the stops in order to give them the best position to win game two, as well as the balance of the series, which now moves to Belgrade, to games three and four. That's it. I mean, there's no, you know, is that not the truth, Roy? Is that not the truth? We understand that that's the truth. Maccabi has to find every which way in order to get into the series. And Panathinaikos, after that game one, figured out they had to do whatever they needed to do to find a way to win game two. Roe, is that not the bottom line?
Yes, it is.
They pulled out all the stops. I mean, they pulled out all the stops. Maccabi Tel Aviv has to do the same. I mean, if they have any design of going to the final four. And this is it. It's on the line. It doesn't matter if it's dirty or clean. You've got to do whatever it takes. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But Maccabi, on the one hand, Katash is the coach for Maccabi. Imagine Maccabi would have had a foreign coach. The foreign coach would have left in the middle of the season.
Yeah, they could have.
So that, people are forgetting that. But it's on the court that Maccabi lost. That's what I think. But it's the off the court, which is where Panathinaikos are stronger.
Yeah. Listen, we know that the relationship between Panathinaikos and the EuroLeague is not great. We understand that. You know, they threatened to leave. Can you imagine Yankopoulos? That was only the owner. It was his first game in 2 years. His first game in 2 years. And there were reports that he was screaming and yelling at Kontash. Now you know why Kontash didn't continue on. If he was thinking about why he didn't continue on, all you have to do is look at the coaches and the styles. You know,
I follow him on Instagram. He's a bit nuts, to say the least.
Oh, that's why Odin, in his mind, had to go.
Yeah,
let's be honest right now, right? I mean,
it's difficult to succeed in such a team.
He did
with
not
such want, owners.
Yeah, he did not want to look. He didn't want to look at a Stoyan coach in Kontash, and I like Kontash. Don't get me wrong here. But, you know, Pini Gershon won two EuroLeague back-to-back titles. He won three in total, right? You look at the style of coach Pini Gershon was, right? Fire and brimstone, correct, Roy?
Yep. Like, he's more like Atama, meaning if you look
at
him.
Yes, yes, yes. He's right from the school of Atama. David Blatt could get very active and vocal on the sidelines. You know, if you remember Dave, you know, that David Blatt, you made a mistake, you were a goner.
Exactly.
You know, I remember you made a mistake on the court, David Blatt's going to take you out and tear you to pieces. But he knew how to manipulate and maneuver things as well. And he was also a very good X and O's coach, probably a better X and O's coach than Pini Gershon was, right?
Yeah.
Most probably.
But they blended in together very well coach and head coach went with the two back to back EuroLeagues.
Yes, no, that's for sure. Roy, where is Maccabi going to go in these two games now? Games three and four. The stage is set. I mean, is Maccabi Tel Aviv going to have a game plan that is going to be able to stop Panathinaikos? And we have to also remember, Ataman's no slouch. He's won two EuroLeagues and even, according to him, probably three EuroLeagues, right? Because of the year of COVID, that the season was canceled. So, you know, he's going to be able to counter whatever Oded is going to do. Panathinaikos is better players. I think we agree on that.
True.
Better players? They have better players.
They have EuroLeague experienced players. That's
serious EuroLeague experienced players. Much more. You look at Skosis Lucas, you can't compare. Back-to-back champion with Olympiakos. Wins with, who do you win with, Fenner?
Fenner.
Right, wins with Fenerbahce. I mean, this is what it is. You know, there's nobody that can hold his jockstrap on Maccabi Tel Aviv, let's be honest. Right?
Lorenzo doesn't have EuroLeague.
No.
And Wade is out.
So, I mean, does any – Maccabi Tel Aviv, do they have any player that has won a EuroLeague title right now?
No.
We'll look through the roster. I don't believe so.
They don't.
So, you know, that's a big difference. It's a big difference, folks. It's a big difference. The Kontash and, well, Guy Panini and the coaching staff are the only ones that have won a European championship. That's it. It's sad that the year's going to end like this. I mean, I know we're already, it's amazing. The series is tied 1-1, and it feels like it's already over.
We can feel it. It's, we know that
the Maccabi Ides of March are upon us. You feel it. You just feel this, and you can probably feel it also. It's, you know, I think somebody on Twitter wrote this, like, and I think we spoke about it last night in the house, but, you know, Daron Perkins, when he went out, that was the end. Like, you know, and 2011, and Richard Hendricks in one of the recent podcasts talks about that, and that was the end of Maccabi. No, Daron Perkins is on the team; they win the title. But I don't know if Wade Baldwin, 100%, even sends Maccabi to the Final Four.
Exactly,
it gives them a much better chance, obviously, and it must be killing him that he's not out there. I mean, it must be killing him that he's not out there. Roey, what's going to happen? what's going to happen?
His career. That's what I think. He's only going to play if he's, let's say, 60, 70. At the moment, he's not
even there.
Not at all close to that.
So, Roy, what's going to happen in game three? You're going to be there.
I think Maccabi will win.
Okay.
But I think they're going to lose game four. So Maccabi won't win two games in Belgrade.
Yeah, I you know, I was very optimistic that there's going to be a game five in Athens. I don't know if there's going to be a game five in Athens. And I picked Maccabi to win 3-2, even though it had never been done. I'll stick with that pick, but it would not surprise me if we see a Panathinaikos sweep in Belgrade. Right, Roy?
Meaning a 3-1. It wouldn't surprise me either.
It wouldn't surprise you. Let's take a look at the other series, shall we, before we bid adieu. Plenty of action. Real Madrid is just pounding Baskonia. That you know, they're up 2-0. Baskonia now has the next game at home. Maybe they salvage that game, but I don't see this game going further than 4. I picked a sweep. I still think it will be a sweep. You have Fenerbahce and Monaco right now, with the Fenerbahce leading 1-0.
1-1.
It's
going to be 1-1.
Most probably be 1-1. It was a crazy overtime game. Monaco threw away the game. That's a game that they should have won without a question. Fener was, you know, they were okay, but they came back in that overtime period and they were able to, you know, to take the victory. Monaco really blew and choked that game. Barcelona Olympiacos, kind of what I thought was going to happen. You're looking at a Barcelona team that is just not complete. They're an incomplete team. Now, they lost by 2 to Olympiacos, and I'm not saying Olympiacos is a complete team, because right now, Filip Petrušev came down with an injury. Looks like it's not that severe. You know, Isaiah Kanaan had some great, great baskets. Nigel Williams-Goss was very good. Mustafa Fall is unstoppable. Barcelona, Ricky Rubio had 10 points, but I got to tell you, the whole Ricky Rubio circus, there's something wrong when Tomas Satoranski plays 22 minutes and doesn't have any points.
Yeah.
And there's just a very big imbalance in that team right now.
It's an even series, but I think Olympiacos would take it.
Yeah, I think I'd pick Barcelona just because they had home court advantage. And if it goes to 5 games again, that home court is always the critical factor. There's just something, there's an imbalance in the team. And I can't, it's funny, I was in Barcelona in January and I saw both teams play. Barcelona won the game. The Olympiacos came back. They weren't able to have enough. And I remember talking to Coach Bartzokas, and he said, we're still not there yet as a team. You know, the team that went to the Final Four last year into the final. It's definitely more of a team, and that's how he plays, but it's still, there's also something missing in that team. Let's just be honest right now. Who's the best team in the Euro League, Rui?
Real Madrid, by far.
I mean, I don't think it's close. I mean, I don't, you know, if they, you know, if they play in the finals, I don't know. You know, again, anything can happen in one game.
No, but and still.
It's not like last year. This Olympiacos team is not as good as they were last year. And that makes a big difference. All right, Roy, where can we find you?
On Israel Sport, www.isport.co.il, on Twitter at Roy J, R-O-I-J-A-Y, and on Facebook and Instagram, Roy Jankalov. It's RoyJankalowitz.
And of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Check out all the news and views. We'll have Nate Drawer back in Belgrade. He'll be sending all the videos, content, articles. We're going to be all over the place. We will be there. Right now, I want to wish everybody a happy Passover and a Shabbat Shalom from the holy city of Jerusalem.